To the brightest audience in the country, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We'll have a couple comments in a few minutes about yesterday's program when I reported the list that we've curated ourselves, the list that we've assembled, the list of homosexual mass murderers. But first, I'd like to tell you about the upcoming film, the sequel to Tim Mahoney's Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus. Now, this film that is set to hit theaters in March, 900 theaters across the country, and that's a huge number of screens for such an independent film. Huge number. We're so excited about it. And if it's anything like the sequel, Patterns of Evidence, many theaters were packed out. So I'd like to air the audio for one of the trailers of this film. It's called Patterns, the Moses Controversy, and it's a great place to start with a sequel. Actually, Tim is working on two additional films, so I imagine they'll be available, the next one, in 2 or 3 years. But Patterns of Evidence presented the overwhelming archaeological, historical evidence for the Israelites in Egypt and then their rapid departure after centuries of flourishing in the south, in Goshen, in Egypt, in the Delta region. So then you want to continue the story and focus then on the actual Exodus, the leaving of the country. And right off the bat, you run into the claim by atheists and skeptics that, well, Moses himself is not an actual historical figure. He could have never written the Pentateuch for various reasons. And so this sequel addresses that topic. Now, our church, Denver Bible Church, we've already purchased half a theater for one of the showings here in the Denver area. The film is going to show March 14th, 16th, and 19th. So I think that's a Thursday night, Saturday night, and a Monday night. And we have purchased, like I said, more than half the seats for a Monday evening showing in Lakewood, the 6:30 p.m. showing. But I encourage you to get tickets if you're interested. Get tickets early because it's like a force multiplier. The more people that come to these extraordinary films that are apologetics-based, the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a defense of the scriptures, a defense of the existence of God. The more people that come to these films, of course, then they share them with their family and friends. And it also raises funds for the continued effort to produce more such astounding films. But if you purchase your tickets early, that multiplies the effect. Right now, it's up to 900 screens. It might stay there, but a few years back when the film Expelled came out, we made an effort in Colorado, and we got it on an additional, I think it was 8 or 9 additional screens in different theaters around the state. So small efforts can multiply. So I encourage you to go to patternsofevidence.com or our own website, kgov.com. We've been putting links to the trailer, so you could watch the trailer and then get your tickets. But right now, of course, this is a beautiful film. You could tell from the video clips already released, just like the first Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus, was so gorgeous to look at and such high production quality. So this is a beautiful film, and you can't see that over the radio. Well, maybe you could, right? Maybe you could see it over the radio. Just imagine that you are in a theater watching the sequel to Patterns of Evidence. Let's hear this.
Moses had written down all the instructions from God, as well as the history of his people, beginning with the creation of the world.
Did Moses read the Torah? Frankly, I don't think so.
I don't think any mainstream scholars would any longer hold that view.
If you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So there it looks like you have a definitive statement from Jesus that Moses produced the Torah, and he's staking an awful lot on that reality.
He would have written in Egyptian, probably, if he had written, not Hebrew.
Hebrew is a kind of dialect that developed much later.
Though writing was possible, most people were illiterate. And so who would have written it and for whom? There is no reading public.
The question of Moses' ability to write the first books of the Bible led me to the ancient lands of the Middle East, searching for patterns of evidence that match the biblical events.
The Lord said to Moses, write this in a book.
This is very writing script that's the basis of the world's oldest alphabet.
Well, when you read it, it doesn't actually become Egyptian. It's something quite different.
We believe there are thousands of more documents that possibly could be found.
So that connects these two inscriptions in time.
To the time of Joseph.
Yes.
I wish that it were true.
It's not science.
Whether it is or not is a question of belief.
The question is the Bible a literal story of God acting in history?
The website is patternsofevidence.com. You could see the trailer for yourself and get tickets, which I encourage you to do. Sunday morning, I sent an email to Tim Mahoney, the filmmaker. You heard him there. And what an extraordinary guy he is. He has made such an impact, truly, on hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions already, since the Fathom Events screening, the showing nationwide of Patterns of Evidence, the Exodus, back just 3 years ago. And when that aired, for an independent film to be shown on theaters around the country, it's very difficult, extremely. A dear friend of Bob and Yart Live produced a film on the Scopes Monkey Trial called Alleged. What a fabulous film that is. A lot of big-name actors in it, names that you'd recognize from blockbusters and number one TV shows. And he spent over $5 million producing this great film. But it simply wasn't possible without pouring many millions more into the project to get it in theaters nationwide. And so it went direct to video. It was on Netflix for a long time, and now it's available, of course, online. Just go to our website, kgov.com/alleged, or you could get it at Amazon or wherever. So for a film to end up in 900 theaters, an independent film, is an enormous accomplishment. And what happened back a few years ago is that the first day showing was such a major success that it came back. It's not unprecedented, but it came back a few days later, a week later, for a second showing, which did incredibly well. And thanks to all that, we have the sequels, the first of which is now coming out in March. And yesterday, we had a listener call before the broadcast, and his name is Angel. And Angel was concerned about an agnostic who had told him that there is no historical evidence for the Exodus. Imagine that. There's no, and that's been said by atheists and skeptics and others. And even many of our Christian colleges and universities have gone over to the dark side. And old earth, once they become old earth, then they tend to reject the order of the days of creation. They reject many of them. that God made Adam from the dust of the ground. They reject that there were no thorns. There would have been no thorns before the fall, before sin entered. They also tend to reject the great ages of the patriarchs. They reject the global flood. They reject the Tower of Babel. They reject the Exodus, the Israelite sojourn in Egypt. They reject so much. The fall of Jericho, Joshua's conquest of Canaan, and on. It truly is shocking, startling, horrifying how much Christians reject, and many pastors who just rather not talk about the age of the earth or the global flood or many other issues, how much they reject, and our professors at our Christian colleges. Interestingly, if you survey the theology professors and the Old Testament professors at Christian colleges and the science professors, you will find more of the science professors who teach creation in a younger earth, in a literal Genesis. For the most part, the professors of Old Testament and theology, they're gone. We've lost them, for the most part. So Angel calls in and says about an agnostic who he's so concerned about, and that this guy said there's no historical evidence for the Exodus. And Angel said he was so glad that he Googled evidence for the Exodus. And he said, right there at the top, I found patterns of evidence. And this is so fabulous. He just went on and on about how great it is. And of course it is. If you haven't seen Patterns of Evidence, first, ask somebody to slap you across the face. Then go online, go to patternsofevidence.com, or to make it easy, go to kgov.com/exodus and see the film. You owe it to yourself, and you could listen to our series. Fred Williams and I did a groundbreaking series on the evidence for the Exodus. So the backstory, something that Angel didn't know, and I didn't tell him this, but I got an email from Tim Mahoney today thanking me about this. A few months back, they had lost their ranking with Google on evidence for the Exodus. It was almost like they were nowhere to be found. They used to be typically number two, and they'd have one or two other rankings on the first page of the top 10 results for evidence for the Exodus. They lost that. They were way down deep in the search results. So a few months ago, I called Tim Mahoney and expressed my concern about that. And he took it very seriously. And they figured out what had gone wrong. They worked on it and they repaired the damage. So that Tim, his email today said, Bob, by the way, thank you that we were able to regain our Google ranking. And so this guy Angel, who listens to BEL now and then, this guy Angel was able to find Patterns of Evidence, and we're so thankful that he was. And I also let Tim know that so far we purchased half a theater here in Denver for Patterns of Evidence, the Moses Controversy. And that weekend, I will be in Decatur, Alabama. Cheryl is going. Our son Michael is going. And we're going to have a creation apologetics weekend at the Fairview Baptist Church in Decatur, Alabama, Northern Alabama. What a great time. We're going to have a number of events. And so I asked the organizers, is it possible maybe on Thursday night, March 14th, and maybe Saturday night, March 16th, that we invite people participating in this apologetics weekend? Let's go as a group, because it's showing in Huntsville, Alabama. That's the home of a huge NASA facility there, Huntsville, Alabama. And it's showing in Decatur, Alabama, where Fairview Baptist Church is. So, and the organizers are excited. Looks like we're going to try to do that. So that'll all be just fabulous. Please, if you can, before the day is over, maybe before the show is over, to make it easy, go to our website, kgov.com, kgov.com/exodus, and right there you'll be able to watch the trailer that we just heard and get tickets. And again, if you get your tickets early, boy, that's going to help a lot. So yesterday we did our program on our list of homosexual mass murderers. What a horrifying show it was. And it's a program that, for the most part, if you're a liberal, a leftist, you're not allowed to think about such things. You're not allowed to think about it. So last night, a few of us had dinner with a dear friend from Holland, and the topic of free speech came up. And I said that my show would not be allowed in Holland, and that it would be a crime to air it, even to produce my radio program. And our friend, naturally defensive of her beloved country, said, no, America didn't invent free speech. You know, in Holland, we have free speech also. So I said, well, today's program, it would be criminal to air today's program that we aired today, yesterday, in Holland. And what was it? It was our list of homosexual mass murderers. And she said, oh, you can't do that in Holland. That would be against the law. And case closed, right? Where is there more free speech? There is more free speech here, even though it is threatened in many ways, including by political correctness and by leftist governments that are, for example, making it against the law to call Bruce Jenner Bruce Jenner, because he is Bruce Jenner. He's still a man, right? Homosexuality is still a crime in reality. Killing unborn children is still a crime in reality. Euthanizing the elderly children, that's still a crime, right? Even if it's decriminalized. Just like in Germany, killing Jews is still criminal, even though in their demented, wicked worldview, they decriminalized it. They thought it was acceptable. But then the Allies came in after World War II, and we had the trials at Nuremberg, and many Germans were convicted. Even though they were following the law of their land, still they had violated the God-given right to life. They had violated the human rights that come from our Creator. Rights come from nowhere but the Creator. Rights can't come from the government, because if they did, then they're not rights, are they? The government could just take them away. Turns out they weren't rights. They were just temporary privileges. Rights can't come from the majority, because then the majority could say, okay, blacks have no rights. And so it would turn out that what you thought were rights, human rights, really were not rights. They were just temporary privileges. Rights can't come from the delivery doctor at the hospital. He's not the one that gives you rights. Rights don't come when you're born. Rights come from your Creator, and therefore they are endowed at the moment of your creation, that is procreation, at the moment of conception. When a brand new little boy or little girl, two X chromosomes, a little girl, or an X and a Y chromosome, a little boy, come into existence, and that's the moment when that person enters eternity. So even though we do have more free speech here in this country than you find in Europe and Canada, I remember Bob and Your Live in the early years, we were on satellite radio and TV multiple times every night, multiple different satellites, different transponders, different stations. And so there were Christians in Canada who were trying to re-air Bob and Your Live on local stations there, and they were told very unceremoniously that that would not be legal. And so that effort failed. But here in America, even though there is quite a fight against free speech, and that is against Christian free speech, we do still have more free speech than you find in Europe, in Canada, in China, and many other countries. So do we have more free speech than in Holland? Well, yesterday's program would be against the law there. And the fact that I mentioned it today, I guess today's program would be against the law in Holland also. So we do count our blessings, even though America is essentially an insane asylum run by the criminally insane. There are still vestiges of things that are right and just, vestiges. And there's still more than a vestige, there's still a significant amount of free speech, but we are gradually losing that. You know, when you can't stop them from killing unborn children, or really when the church refuses to seriously attempt to stop them from killing unborn children, don't expect that there are many other battles that you're going to be able to win. If you can't stop the killing of unborn children, you think you're going to be able to stop homosexuals from writing curriculum for children? You think you're going to be able to stop a drag queen story hour at the local public library reading to kids and effectively committing child abuse right out in the public by confusing little boys and girls about something so fundamental as their gender, as their identity? So if you can't stop the killing of innocent children, don't think that you're going to win very many other substantive battles. Oh, you might beat the Democrats in an election, and that might feel really good. It might feel almost like lust when you beat the Democrats. Many Christians lust to defeat the Democrats. And so they're willing to dishonor God in order to satisfy, to try to satiate their lust of beating the Democrats. And the battle is not R versus D. The battle is God versus those in rebellion against him. And so quite often, to gain something as fleeting as a political victory, Christians will dishonor God, disobey God, lie about things, minor things like killing the innocent and all, things like that. They'll lie about those things in order to try to have this temporary political victory. And obviously, when Christian leaders do such a thing, then you can guarantee that it's going to go downhill from there, and like dominoes falling, many Christian leaders at lower tiers, not the national leaders, but pastors and Sunday school teachers and authors and talk show hosts are going to be completely confused about what is right and what is wrong. On a competing station here in Denver, there's Dan Kaplis and Krista Kafer. And she, if I recall, she teaches at Colorado Christian University. And last week she was talking about the homosexual governor of Colorado and just falling all over herself to say what a wonderful person he is and what a great leader he is and he can be. And the fact that he's a homosexual, that's irrelevant to him as a successful leader, to our state. And do you realize the self-delusion that's involved there in the grotesque perversion of morality? You cannot have someone who is openly in rebellion against God regarding killing the innocent, regarding thou shalt not steal, regarding do not commit adultery, and regarding God's New Testament condemnation of homosexuality. You cannot have that person then be an outstanding great leader for the state of Colorado, but that's Krista Kafer. That's CCU, Colorado Christian University. That's what you get from Christianity Today. Huh, is that a pun? That magazine that was started by Billy Graham that now rejects that God made Adam from the dust of the ground, they think that there were maybe a couple thousand apes, and those apes became people. Maybe God was involved with that. But those apes became people. They reject the global flood and all the things I mentioned earlier. And they call themselves Christianity Today. And it turns out that's a pretty good name for their magazine. I mean, that really is a perfect name, Christianity Today. It's not Christianity. It's not New Testament Christianity. It's Christianity Today, which is, for the most part, an abomination to God. So, I want to get back to the conversation last night with our dear friend. She's been here for some weeks and headed back to Holland this week. And I think she'll be coming back to Colorado. That'll be exciting. But then we talked about violence. And on that topic, I agreed with her that America has a lot to be ashamed about. And that we must not allow the level of violence that we see in America to be considered a normal thing, and that we need to fight to reduce that violence. In fact, on our website, we have at kgov.com/crime, which is one of our major themes here at Bob and Yurt Live, because the Bible is a criminal justice textbook, and the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we have our list of ways a Christian can reduce crime. And don't worry, the 25 specifics that we list, they don't say just love everyone and don't judge and all sins are equal and forgive everyone. It doesn't say any of that. So don't worry. You know, there are so many men who almost are allergic to the presentation of Christianity today because it's been so effeminate. It's been emasculated. The Lord, the apostles, the prophets, the scriptures, they've been emasculated. Christianity has been feminized. And that grave error has driven tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of men out of the church. Because it's just a little gross when you can't tell the difference between a Christian leader and a sissy. It's just a little bit gross. So we talked about violence, and I agreed with our friend from Holland completely that America's level of violence, violent crime, is absolutely horrific and must not be accepted. And there were others at dinner who said, well, the reason we have so much crime, and I was a little bit rude, not really. Nobody would think if we asked them, they wouldn't say I was rude. But I said, well, could you pause? Just wait a second before you finish that sentence. The reason we have so much crime, because I'm guessing that the way you're going to finish that sentence, you're going to say we have so much murder in America because XYZ. But when you look at Holland, Holland will have XYZ, and they don't have the level of violent crime that we have. Sure, there's murder. There's plenty of crime in Europe, but they don't have the level of garden variety violent crime that we do. And also, we tend to lead the world in the percentage of our population that's locked up, that's incarcerated. So the level of crime in America, wow, what a tragedy. And how it hurts the spreading of the gospel, because America's reputation as a nation that sends out missionaries around the world. And so that is a crisis. Now, by the way, if you look at a century of killing in the U.S. versus Europe, you know, Europe, for the most part, had a disarmed population. And, you know, America, for the most part, had an armed population, whereas Europe had a disarmed population. And because Europe had that disarmed population, democide, like out of Moscow and out of Germany, where they kill tens of millions of people, you know, that's a lot harder to do when the population is armed, as in America. So when you compare the results, you got to compare them accurately. This is Bob Benyart. May God bless you.